Good morning to you. I'm speaking to you from our back garden, our backyard here in Edinburgh. And our garden has two gates. There is a gate on the east side. There's a gate on the west side. They're both good. Well, one's a bit more inconvenient to get into, but they both work just fine. In our passage today in Sermon on the Mount, Lesson U, we'll see that in God's world, there are also two gates, but they're not equal. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Again, this is Lesson U, the narrow road. It's a teaching of Christianity that is increasingly ignored, and less and less often do you hear it preached, and more Christ followers are uncomfortable even proclaiming it. There's resistance. Why is there resistance? Well, first, it's difficult. We'll be exploring that aspect in today's message. Second, because there's no third option. There are only two ways. There are two gates, two roads. And third, because there are many loud voices trying to talk us out of this teaching. We'll be focusing on those voices, actually, in the following two lessons. It's so important. Jesus' words are challenging. They're challenging because there are only two options. The truth is easy to understand, but not necessarily easy to follow. The majority of us prefer the broad road. We want the broad road like we want a good seat on an airplane. We don't want it to be narrow. Narrow is bad. We want room. I understand that. I need space. I want space. Physical space, mental space, emotional space. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the path that leads to life. Again, he says the gate is wide and the gate is easy. The way is easy that leads to destruction. So you're going to expect most people are going to choose that. But the gate is narrow. The way is hard that leads to life. And that's why he says those who find it are few. Like it or not, only the minority of people, even the minority of religious people, find the right gate, decide to enter and stay on that narrow road. This is not a teaching only for non-Christians, in other words. It's for all of us who have set out on the way. This theme of the two roads can be discerned in pretty much every book of the Bible. We could start with the first humans. They're given a choice to obey or disobey. One path keeps them near the Lord. The other one takes them in a very different direction, the direction of expulsion. And you'll see the two ways and the tension between those two ways throughout Scripture. As I've mentioned before, perhaps, I once did a sermon, not a very short sermon, on this doctrine of the two roads. And I started in Genesis, and then I went to Exodus and Leviticus, and yes, indeed, I went through all 66 books of the Bible to show that it's there. So there's really no way to get around it. It was probably too long a message, but the point was good. We see this. I'll just give you a couple of examples. In Psalms, we have the two ways. There's the way of sinners. There's the way of the righteous. I mean, read that Psalm. It's very simple, very short, only six verses, Psalm number one. But it lays out in a longer way the truth that Jesus has given us here in Matthew 7, 13, 14. And in the prophets, here's a good example. The prophets are telling us to follow God's law, the Torah, or ignore its demands. If you follow, there'll be great blessings. If you ignore, you're hurting yourself and others. Don't do that. Don't do that. Follow Yahweh or spurn him. And the prophets urge God's people. And they're especially urgent in speaking to those with influence and power. Those are the voice. That is the established priesthood, the monarchy, the kings, occasionally queens, and also, of course, other prophets. prophets who've sold out. What did the early Christians say about this? And I think I'd like to share three examples. These are from 2nd century and a little bit later. Let's start with the Epistle of Barnabas. There are two ways of teaching and authority, one of light, the other of darkness. But there's a great difference between these two ways. The way of light is as follows. If anyone desires to travel to the appointed place, he must be zealous in his works. The knowledge given to us for the purpose of walking in this way is the following. You shall love him who created you. You shall glorify him who redeemed you from death. You shall be pure in heart and rich in spirit. You shall not join yourself to those who walk in the way of death. You shall be meek and peaceable, and you shall tremble at the words which you hear. So there are many ways to flesh this out, and we need reminding. Again, it may be a very simple teaching. It doesn't mean it's easy to accept or to follow. Origen, this is probably around 200, a little bit after 200 AD. This way is narrow because the majority cannot bear to walk in it, for they are lovers of their flesh. The ones who believe in him are those who walk in the straight and narrow way that leads to life. This way is found by few. And finally, Lactantius, this road is steep because that goodness which is very high and lofty cannot be reached without the greatest difficulty and labor. So Lactantius brings in another dimension. It's not just the narrowness or the extension of the road, it's the angle, it's the slope. Because what we're aiming at is so heavenly, lofty, it's not going to be easy to go up. And I think we all understand that, especially as we get older, don't have the same stamina we had before for running up long hills, steep hills. Well, let me share some thoughts by way of conclusion. This teaching is difficult even before we're following Christ. That is, when we're trying to come to terms with his teaching. I don't know how long it took you. I mean, I was probably in phases. I had some, ideas and some inspiration, and some seeds were planted probably in my childhood, although I was not in a family that read the scripture. We went to a traditional church most Sundays, just not in the summertime. I got more serious when I was in high school, age 16, 17, but it was more of an activity. I was thinking a lot, but not really committed yet. Not until I went to university. I just turned 18. It took me a while to struggle with it. And you know, probably the older we are, the harder it is to come to terms. That's why Ecclesiastes says, do it, come to the Lord, follow him in the days of your youth before it gets more difficult. Read Ecclesiastes 11 and 12. You'll see what I mean. So I remember the struggle I had, and compared to my age now and my life experience now, my world was simple. It gets more complex, doesn't it? Which means that we get clever with more excuses. So this teaching is for those who are now walking in the path. It may feel even more challenging for those who are drifting, for those who have left the narrow road and are maybe considering coming back. You know things aren't right. You know you should come back. You're seriously considering it, but it's a struggle all over again. And I get that. In a few weeks here in our home, I'll be preaching from the end of John chapter 6, where so many people abandon the Lord, even after he gives a beautiful message in the synagogue in Capernaum. And he asked the disciples, the apostles, do you want to leave too? Of course, they won't, because they know he only has the words of eternal life. Then there's a parallel passage. Bible readers are familiar with Luke 13. Somebody asked the Lord, is it true only a few people are going to be saved? And he replies with an imperative, strive to enter through the narrow door. And there it's not a gate, it's a door, but it's really the same point. And as in Matthew 7, he doesn't give us a percentage. Yes, only 0.23% will be. No, there's nothing like that. That's not really a helpful way even to think about it. Because we're not the statisticians, the accountants, the actuaries, the undertakers, the judges. What are we? We're just on the path. Stay on the path. Keep going. So this isn't only a passage about becoming Jesus' disciples, in other words. It's about life for us who are following. And while many will object that a talk such as I've done here today is simplistic, I would counter that rather it is just simple. They say they've tried it and it doesn't work. Well, some people have tried, but few have experienced authentic Christianity. Those near to Christ who've tasted that the Lord is good, they know that his teachings work and they're not going to give up. And even if they begin to drift, they'll make a course correction. Maybe you need to make a course correction today. And then there are those who will try to talk you out of the truth. They may be wonderful people in various aspects. Maybe they give to the needy. Maybe they're very committed to their local church. Maybe they're kind. They don't use profanity. They're respectful. It's possible. But when they're trying to talk you out of this truth, as we'll see next time, Jesus calls them false prophets. And so in the next lesson, prophets, false and true, will continue this thought in Sermon on the Mount, Lesson V. Thanks for listening.